Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Banca Transilvania third semester 2018 results conference call. I will now hand you over to your host, Mr. Ömer Tetik, CEO. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us when we are announcing, actually giving you details about our first 6 months results. As probably we will receive questions from you later on. It's an interesting year for BT, for Romanian markets, and we will try to be punctual about the numbers, data, and in case we will not be able to answer on spot, we will come back to you in the shortest time available. First of all, I would like to mention a few things about Romania, Romanian banking system, because it is already assured that Romanian banking sector is in a growth trend. Most of the system shows strong results in terms of profitability, liquidity, and capital adequacy. So perhaps if we could say maybe on the eve of other minor volatility in the market, the impact of 2008-2009 had been well repaired, and the banking sector became the locomotive of the growth of the GDP, local economy here. The total banking assets reached 432 billion at the end of the first quarter of this year. And NPL ratios, as you know, had been decreased with great efforts of recoveries, portfolio sales, down to 6.2% as per EBA definition. The main growth is coming still from the private consumption and private retail demand. We see that in the last quarter, in the second quarter of 2018, the corporate and SME growth started picking up as well. And the retail demand is kind of being tempered, but it's still at good levels. For the banks with a huge network and convenient platforms, this gives an advantage of further growth. The growth is mainly on the local currency. I guess everybody learned that if you look around the emerging markets now, everybody appreciates the value of having local currency assets and assuming exposure in local currencies. So we see that the lei loans further grow in all segments, in all customer segments and portfolios. But also, in the total amount, the weight is almost 80% of lei credit. On the other hand, the deceleration, slight deceleration of the private demand and maybe slight increase in the inflation, we see also see kind of a deceleration in the general economy due to the need of covering public needs, although the infrastructure investments are still lagging behind the desired levels. The budget deficit has been under pressure. We have seen that the high growth of GDP is keeping the indicators in at the limit, acceptable limits, but we also see a great effort and activities, even during the summer period, from the Romanian government to launch new projects, new infrastructure projects, and new investments. Also, although it is past second quarter, you most probably have seen also the clear messages from National Bank of Romania, which is signaling, which is giving signals about the easing the monetary tightening cycle. Inflationary expectations are being revised downwards by different institutions, including NBR itself. This also impacted positively the yield curve, which on all maturities decreased between 10 to 40 basis points in the last couple of days. Coming back to BT, we are, as you know, as a retail and SME bank, we continue growing in the segment where we consider that we have certain competence, we build our muscles. This helps also further to our bottom line. The net interest income of the bank increased 14%, over 14%, over 1 billion lei in the first half of this year. And the fee and commission income also had a growth of 10.5%, reaching 300 million. The main pressures on the operating expenses, besides the inflationary pressures, is in our own balance sheet, is coming still from the personal expenses. But here I have to mention that due to two integration projects, one, it's a cultural integration that we have in Moldova, and the business integration, operational integration that we have in with Bankpost, we had to postpone the vacations of our personnel, and 4% of the operating expenses actually coming because of this unutilized vacation expenses. The net income of the bank grew 33%, reaching 663 million. And if you look at our indicators that you most probably also calculated, our cost of risk is at minus 108 basis points. But if you will think about the normalized cost of risk, if we will deduct the reversals and recoveries, which were quite significant in the first 6 months of this year, our cost of risk is situated at 40 basis points. We are with a 353 basis points net interest margin. As you know, the interest rate increase, robust increase in the markets helped us with our variable interest rate loan portfolio to reprice at a better rate. Enjoying a high liquidity position, definitely the increase of the cost of funding is coming with a significant gap in terms of the period. Our return on equity is at 19.8%, and cost income ratio still best practice among big banks at 49.7%. Here, cost income ratio is partially affected by the earlier mentioned operating expenses, which increased, but we are committed to maintain operating expenses at the budgeted level at the end of the year. But also, integration expenses started kicking in, so that I'll say we will be, from now on, should be seeing a decreased trend in the cost-income ratio. Our gross loans to customers is at around 33.4 billion lei, and deposits at 50.7 billion lei, resulting into a loan-to-deposit ratio of 66%. And our NPL ratio, as you see, when you, this had been asked several times, while we see the impact, actually, of the interest rate increases in our NPL ratio. The idea is that interest rates are also increasing behind the salary or net income increases, so that the possibly it didn't have a pressure on the NPL and NPL generation or creation. Our NPL ratio, which is par 90, is at 2.95%, and the EBA definition NPE ratio is at 5.9%, with 85% loan provision coverage ratio. Our Tier 1 capital ratio is at almost 18%, and the total capital ratio is at a very comfortable 22.4%. This is also, this calculation includes sub-debt that we have withdrawn and also the profits of the first 6 months. Now we can see that we are definitely using our capital after paying dividends, substantial dividends in the second quarter, the dividend payout. We are using our capital much more efficiently. The total assets of the bank, individual balance sheet, is at 63 billion. And we see that the loan growth further continues. definitely third quarter that we are living in now, it's a period of vacations and let's say decelerated growth, but we see same growth trend of second quarter almost continue, and also with the projects that we have with the Bankpost integration, definitely vacation period is not for us, at least for the moment. If we look at the income structure, definitely the biggest contributor is the net interest income with a 14% increase. Net fee and commission income continues increasing, and we are committed to maintain double-digit growth of net fee and commission income this year and the next few years to come. Our trading income, net trading income is more or less the same, although operating expenses had a growth of 15%. When you will be looking at the consolidated numbers, that definitely with the, let's say, synergies of the new BT after integration, it will bring substantial cost synergies, and the cost-income ratios will definitely decrease, or the operating expenses per asset will decrease. We have been seeing growth in almost all business lines in the loan portfolios. Our retail loans reached 17.4 billion. The growth is coming from all segments, but we are also very happy to see that our total number of credit cards reached over 400,000 active cards, with 3.2 million plastic cards issued by BT. And also both mortgage loans or consumer loans are showing decent growth, while we maintain our loan portfolio with a structure of almost 80% inlay. In the corporate and SME lending, also we are, as we said in our press release, we are happy to see that our SME loan portfolio reached over 1 billion euros. We have granted 9,500 loans this year to SMEs in the first 6 months, and our growth will continue there. On the other hand, also in the corporate or large corporate book, we see a good pipeline, which will be kicking in the second half of this year. In the deposit structure, we were always comfortable in terms of our liquidity position, but obviously deposits continue to increase, and especially on the retail, we see that the value of foreign currency deposits is slightly increasing. This can be because of the depreciation or increase of the value. Coming back to NPL ratio, I have, as I mentioned, the NPL ratio par 90 in earlier periods presenting to you is at 2.95%. Including collaterals, mortgage collaterals, the coverage ratio is at 120%, and our NPE ratio is at 5.95 with 85% loan provision coverage ratio. In terms of our group, if you have managed to download or print the presentation, now we have two new names in our financial group, Bankpost and Victoria Bank, and also Beta Operation Leasing had been sold in the second quarter of this year, so that we are focusing mainly on the financial sector and related markets. When we look at the consolidated numbers, our bottom line shows an 865 million lei profit with almost 40% increase in the net interest income and 23% increase in the net fees and commissions income. Our net interest margin is, as a group, is at 383 basis points, and return on equity is 23%. The cost income ratio that you see here for the group, after improving the newly acquired Victoria Bank and creating the synergies that we are comfortable about with Bankpost, will be definitely below 50%. The total equity of the group is at 7 billion lei, and the total capital ratio of the group is at 19%. I would like to maybe finish here the presentation. The numbers are already available in our website that you can always refer to and come back if there are any questions. And maybe we'll switch to Q&A. Thank you.
We will start now question and answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. We have a question from the participant, which line is ends on 373. Please go ahead. Please introduce yourself before you ask a question. Line ends 273. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is Luciano Lusco from Wood & Company. Hello, everyone, and thank you for the presentation. I have a question related to the consolidation of the numbers. Can you tell us a bit what exactly is consolidated, under which method, and for how many quarters or how many months? I'm trying to reconcile, for example, the net interest income of the entities together, and I cannot do this. So.
Hello, Lucian. George here. So we have different dates for the consolidation. For the entities acquired in the first part of the year, you have details of the details of the consolidation and acquisition on the pages 75 and 76 of the financials. But we can tell you that basically what we have in the P&L is the effect starting from April for the entities from the Bampost group, Bampost SA, RB Leasing IFNE SA, and RB Retail IFNE SA. Because it's considered that BT Group took control over these entities on the 3rd of April. So for all intents and purposes, we have the second quarter only in the P&L there. And in the case of Victoria Bank, also on the page 76 in the financials, even though we have acquired the first shares in January, we have considered that control was obtained a little bit later. So you basically have the second quarter as well in the P&L of the entities Victoria Bank. Because of the legislative requirements to actually, gain control, appoint members, it's a little bit more complicated in Moldova than it is in Romania in terms of appointment to executive members, board members, so on and so forth. So you are talking only about one quarter of P&L effect, with the rest of the results being reflected in the equity of the companies that were acquired.
I see. Thank you.
Are you fine with the answer?
I still need to dig more into the numbers.
So more than happy to, let's say, on a piece-by-piece approach to go through the figures and with separate emails if you need it.
Okay. And did you do by any chance the exercise of stripping out the one-offs in these results?
No. No ratios are presented without second quarter kind of one-off. All the one-offs are in and are considered in the computation. What Omer was mentioning, like a one-off or more significant one-off during the second quarter, is with regard to the recoveries, which are part of the cost of risk.
That's why I wanted to mention also kind of a normalized cost of risk if you wouldn't have had this recovery. Otherwise, all what happened, life as it is in this financial data.
Because there are also other elements. For example, in other operating income, there's a really high amount in the consolidated numbers, 330 million. I'm not sure what that is related to. And also in the cost, I saw some taxes and contributions, which are higher than usual, and other expenses.
Yes, Christian, this is true. It relates to certain tax position from the entities we acquired, which on the one hand we have some liabilities recorded in the balance sheet, but on the other hand we have some assets recorded as they are covered by indemnity signed with the sellers. So in that case, the net impact on consolidated level for the bank is zero for those positions.
Meaning that even though on the income side you are seeing one large lump sum, that is in the end reflected also on the expense side, but in different positions among the other operating income and other operating expenses. And but the amounts are mirroring themselves on one side and the other, as there are some risks which are in fact covered by indemnities.
I see. Okay, thank you.
We have a question from the participant whose line ends on 7555. Please introduce yourself. Participant's line ends 7555. Your line is open. Please introduce yourself. Our next question from the participant whose line ends 0222. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so this is Cătălin Diaconu from Raiffeisen Bank. I'm still asking also about those 331 million from other operating income, just to make sure. So practically these are mirrored by other expenses in OPEX and also that tax one-off of 200 million. So that would be the answer. And a second one would be regarding the capital adequacy ratio. So given the numbers on the consolidated side, can you give us some guidance on a potential dividend payout for the coming year? Thank you.
Okay. With respect to other income and the tax position, yes, we can confirm that your understanding is correct. In other income, we have mainly the amount related to the tax contra position, which the net effect in the consolidated result is zero, and also other position which reflect other income positions, you know, among other things, the amounts we cashed in following the sale of better operation leasing and so on and so forth, some one-off transactions that took place in the second quarter of this year.
As regard to the Catherine, as regard to the second question, I would refrain now mentioning a number definitely, but as we have mentioned couple of times in our recent conference calls and also through our actions, we have changed definitely our policy. We don't have, before closing the year, we cannot come up with a percentage or number, but basically we are moving towards a more cash generative dividend policy, as we have done so far this year as well. As long as the market potential and our growth potential doesn't require excess capital, we will maintain this kind of mixture of cash and stock dividends as policy. Later, once we have more, let's say, visibility about the year-end numbers, probably in the last quarter, in our next conference call, we will be able to provide you some more details. Thank you.
Thank you also.
Our next question from the participant who lines end 6273. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, hi, it's Lucian Avrescu again. Maybe a short follow-up from my side. Do you expect more integration costs in the coming quarter? Can you give us any guidance in this respect? Thank you.
I mean, the integration related cost numbers, and also not just educated guests but predictable synergies, we will be presenting at our general shareholders assembly this autumn, when we will invite shareholders to vote for the plan. But on the other hand, throughout the year, definitely there will be costs. However, so far, and as we are quite close to the closing the process, we don't see any exceptional costs that we didn't forecast, which was not priced in.
I see. And can you disclose if there was anything in this quarter?
In the total operating expenses of BT, the number is not very significant, but it was one of the, let's say, small minor items which is contributing to a 15% increase, but we are not discussing possibly dozens of millions of euros. They are basically minor consultancy expenses to our integration partner, to our IT partners, some legal expenses, some of the optimization expenses, but these are, as I said, they had been blended already in the numbers, and they were all priced in.
All right, thank you.
I would just add a little bit here, Lucian. If you are looking at the cost-income ratio, which is combined for the group level, and you see that it is at 51%, this means that, in fact, we are not yet having the largest one-offs when it comes to the integration costs of or the efficiency project with regard to Bank Post network.
Okay, thank you.
We have a question from the next participant. Please introduce yourself. Your line is open.
Hello.
Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Gabriel from Fidelity here. I just had a quick question on the costs again, following up. So I just wanted to clarify that in the OPEX for the quarter, there aren't any sort of major one-offs. And beyond that, maybe also to ask, where do you see yourselves taking the cost-income ratio to eventually, following the branch rationalization? Thanks.
No, I mean, when we were also making our, last conference call or after the transaction, after the signing, I'm not sure exactly the timing, but we were mentioning that on a group base, our cost-income ratio is expected to grow to maybe to 55%. There will be some expenses. In the first quarter, there were, not a single one-off that impacted the number, but there are minor events like consultancy fees, like the unutilized vacation expenses or some other items that impacted it. But as I said, we don't think that we will be reaching towards the end of the year beyond these numbers. We are maintaining our target of going towards 46-47% in a year or two. But now still we are, when you look at the cost income ratio or operational expenses, we are not benefiting from the synergies on the cost side. We are running two banks with two structures, two entities, two networks. So the benefits we didn't start yet, but we already started optimization in terms of headcount and network. The real impact will be seen towards the end of the year and then starting it next year.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe just to follow up on that, could you just give us a sense of the degree of overlap and therefore the sort of potential for the rationalization? So in terms of branch overlap,
We have slightly under 500 locations. Bankpost at the moment when we acquired, we took over the bank, had 147 locations. Almost 100, I might be wrong, plus minus one or two locations, but around 100 locations was in the proximity of 500 meters to BT locations. Now, when we are optimizing our branch network, we are not optimizing only Bankpost. It's a good moment of negotiation with our existing landlords, as we are not the owner of the locations, because we have the alternative. And if we have a cheap alternative, we are doing this. There are already a couple of decisions taken, but I don't want to give numbers now because we are doing this piece by piece. We are analyzing each location. But it will help us to decrease some of the headcount, some of the rent expenses, operation expenses. And also in the towards the end of second quarter and beginning of third quarter, we already closed 22 locations from Bankpost. They had been, and there were some exit or let's say closure expenses, which partially were booked in second quarter, then we'll be entering third quarter. But all these expenses, these kind of one-offs, in the next quarter become for us a revenue or cost synergy.
Okay, thank you very much. And maybe one final question just on the tax rate. You had an exceptionally high tax rate in the quarter. Could you just explain, you know, what the cause of that was and then maybe give us some guidance on where the tax rate for the full year and going forward goes to?
You mean individual level or consolidated level?
At the consolidated level.
So at the consolidated level, partially, it's the amount that we explained earlier that there are new tax positions in the second quarter that are covered by the indemnity side with the sellers. And at individual level, in the financials, there are some details regarding some uncertain tax positions on page 43. Especially related to the sale of portfolios, where the legislation was changed in April this year, and there is some unclear tax impact as to how this sale of provisions of portfolios are to be taxed going forward. Unfortunately, the tax authority did not issue detailed instructions, and we have booked at an individual level, as it is detailed in the financials, 82.5 million RON as, let's say, expected tax expense following these uncertain tax positions.
And in terms of what the full year rate will be?
Well, to be honest with you, these amounts are related to deals that were signed prior to the time when this legislation came into force. And you know, we had to close them. We closed them after the legislation came into force. But at this point in time, it's a bit complicated because we have, I think everybody on the Romanian banking sector is waiting to see how this legislation will be clarified, because it really is very, very unclear right now, the tax treatment, and everybody is cautioning doing the deal. So,
I mean, there are different legal opinions as regard to the date of taking those receivables off balance sheet, to when they were written off, when the transaction had been signed, when the transaction had been closed. We wanted, with the, I don't know, help and comments of our auditors, to follow a rather prudent approach. But on the other hand, as Georgia was saying, the operational norms of application are not clear yet, and will hopefully throughout this year we will get more clearance.
And I would also like to add something, that what both my colleagues were mentioning now is related more to the tax level at just BT's level, because we were having that portfolio sale in BT, and let's say if you are speaking at individual level, then this is to be considered. Otherwise, at group level, the large amount is coming from that tax topic, which is covered by indemnities, which in the end is booked like an expense, but it's covered by indemnities, so it's not like a real expense for us. We have the right income to cover it. So when it comes to real tax expenses, then this is related to the topic which was explained by Georgia and Omer previously, linked to the sale of the NPL portfolio, but there we are speaking about a very small amount compared to the large figure which is at consolidated level. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line 4216. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, hello. This is Daniela Mundru from Swiss Capital. Regarding the reversals, how much of these reversals are coming from the, are related to the NPL sales? Hello.
I guess 226 million is related with the NPL sales.
266? 226. Okay. And now regarding, I've read in your report, but I didn't understand, related the net profit coming from the bank post. So you are saying that in the second quarter, your net profit from bank post consolidation is of 33.5 million RON, while if you would have considered the consolidation starting with the beginning of the year, it would have been 8.5 million RON. I understood that there are some adjustments. I don't know if the adjustments are referring to what? The difference between the two quarters.
Well, the adjustments are related to the result of the entity acquired in the first quarter of the year, which was negative on a cumulative level. So they booked some expenses in the first 3 months of the year, partially related to things related to preparation for the sale, which would require them to book as extraordinary things. But, this is the rule of the game. Only from the
beginning of April
we can take into consideration to P&L the expected results. So,
because the entity that we purchased, taken over at the end of March or beginning of April, we took at a certain level of equity and a certain balance sheet structure. So we have asked, as per the SPA, some adjustments in their net asset value, which they have executed, and we can count the numbers only starting from the date of acquisition.
Yes, because I see exactly what is the value of this adjustment. It's 129 million RON.
No, this is related to the fair value adjustment at acquisition. So this is something separate. So if you look at the P&L of the bank, there are two areas of P&L affected by the acquisition. So first of all is the area in the P&L clearly identified as bargaining gain in the overall consolidated results, which for all the four entities acquired in the year, Victoria Bank, but also the three entities from the Bampost Group, amounts to 111.55 million RON, but also the overall effect of the consolidation in the P&L of the results reflected in the individual P&Ls of the four entities acquired in the second quarter is reflected in the various positions of income and expense. So on the one hand, if you take the case that you mentioned, 30-something million is a contribution to the P&L solely from the individual positions, plus something else which comes as bargaining gain. And this is true for all the other entities that we acquired.
Okay, good. And now turning back to those recoveries, my question was, so because I know there are recoveries from written-off loans, and also I know that in the second quarter you have sold those that NPL portfolio of 124 million euro. I'm referring to the provisions related to this portfolio of 124 million euro. Reversal of provision for this portfolio, because I don't think they are in this amount of 227 million. The value of entire portfolio was 500 million and something.
I'm not sure if I understood the question correctly, but the portfolio, after being written off and full of provisions, was not sold. I mean, NPL, usually you don't sell at the principal or nominal amount. You sell at a price which is a fraction of it. This is the amount that you recover. And we sold it at a certain price. Out of this 226 million lei, almost half is coming from there. Also, we had some other recoveries and individual loan sales in the second quarter, which is not related with the portfolio sale, which brought the rest of it. It's almost, again, the other half of the total amount. They together make up 226 million lei.
Okay, that was the question. So about 100 million and something related to the sale of the NPL portfolio in the second quarter.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you also.
Our next question from the participant whose line is ending 31462. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, this is Maria Simikhatova from City Research. I have a couple of follow-up questions. First of all, I haven't seen in your financials, can you disclose the contribution of Victoria Bank in the second quarter? What was the net profit from this acquisition? Second, it would be very useful for us to hear your thoughts on outlook for cost of risk. You mentioned that adjusted for recoveries, your kind of normalized cost of risk for the quarter was around 40 basis points. Just want to confirm if you think that this is an appropriate outlook for the consolidated group for the second half. And final question is on margins. I see that in the presentation you show adjusted margins. Can you talk about the outlook for for the margin in the second half? How you see this for the all entities? Thank you.
So, I'll say, as regard to Victoria Bank, although definitely this year, that's why we are saying very often that we are in a business culture integration process. We are changing flow of governance, so we don't have the magic wand to change the balance sheet of the bank in a few months. The contribution of Victoria Bank to the bottom line of the group is very insignificant still. It is 2-3%. But on the other hand, it is on a growing trend because we are seeing that every month we are generating assets, profitable assets in the segments that we want to. And our aim is that until end of next year to bring Victoria Bank at a level that it will contribute to the bottom line of profitability, pro rata the risk-weighted assets or the asset size at least there, because it should make sense for us that acquisition. But this year also we are kind of with our transformation actions, we are maybe inducing some minor costs there. On the other hand, we are discussing about Victoria Bank, about a bank which has almost less than 30% loan-to-deposit ratio. We have just restarted the engines with new products. Most probably you know also that the famous Prima Casa first house project of Romania had been twinned also there, and we were the first bank granting Prima Casa loan out of Chisinau in Moldova. But so far, the impact is rather limited. On the other hand, as regard to cost of risk, that kind of every quarter we are mentioning that our normalized level is 110 basis points, but there are recoveries thanks to economic revival and our recovery activities. Numbers are looking better. We consider that our normalized cost of risk is 40 basis points for the first half, and for our business risk profile, it should be close to 100 basis points. As regard to net interest margin, the numbers are not adjusted. They are as is. So I guess there was a misunderstanding, but there are long but clear explanations in the financial reports that we have also presented. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have no other question at this moment. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. And definitely, if there are questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. Because of the acquisition, IFRS 9 and market changes, there might be, unclear points, and we would like to offer the assurance that we explain the numbers and get your comments on that. It helps us also to improve our business. And hope to see you hear each other in the next month, either with new financials or after the GSM of the integration process. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participating. You may now disconnect.